This interview is brought to you by Transformational Mortgage Solutions. You can check out the full episode at lickinonlending.com.
I'm excited about today's podcast. I've got a good friend of mine, Gabe Minton, who's on with us. He is EVP, CIO at Guild Mortgage. He has had a number of really great positions throughout his career. He was SVP CIO at PHH Mortgage. He was CEV and Senior Vice President of Information Services at ServiceLink. He was Chief Strategy Officer at Motivity Solutions. He was Chief Operating Officer at Mortgage Cadence. The list goes on and on, but most of all, he is just a great friend and someone that I recommend. Well, one of the ones we should definitely say is he was Vice President of Industry Technology and EVP of MISMO. So there you go. Lots of great information in this band, and I invited him to come help sort through the whole broad topic of artificial intelligence. Folks, a lot of things are getting dumped into the general bucket of artificial intelligence, and that is something we asked Gabe to come on and sort out for us. So without further ado, listen to the podcast recording of Gabe Minton. Folks, I'm excited to have with us on the broadcast today a very good friend, someone I've known for many, many years, and certainly is not someone that needs much of an introduction. He's so well known to our industry, has served our industry in so many capacities. I'm talking about Gabe Minton, who's currently with Guild Mortgage. Good to have you here, friend.
Hey, good to be here, David. I'm so glad to be able to talk to you today.
Well, you are one of the listeners that have been early on listening to our podcast. You are a faithful listener. I appreciate that you still are. Gabe, for those, I can't imagine people don't know you, but for those that don't, give us a little of your background and how you got into mortgage lending. Was that on purpose? Was it accidental? And a little bit of your journey.
Yeah, I'd be happy to do that. I have been in the industry for about, over 25 years now, and I started with a .com where our paths originally crossed.
Yes.
Back in the 90s. We built a online whole loan trading platform as well as a high loan to value loan origination system, which hadn't been created yet. And that would be the first of six major loan origination systems that I've built and or maintained over the span of my career. And so I started kind of in the software product space, and then I went to the Mortgage Bankers Association and worked for Doug Duncan and built out the MISMO organization and really focused on industry standards for the mortgage industry for a number of years. And then went back into private industry and ultimately to lending shops working and running their technology groups. So most recently, over the last 8 or so years, I've been working with PHH Mortgage as their CIO, and currently I'm the CIO at Guild Mortgage.
Well, good job in covering a lot, 25 years in a short period of time. Yeah, and I want to give a shout to David Matthews, who you and I both work for. He's a veteran in this industry, and it's good to see him in Dallas at the tech conference. And that's where you and I really reconnected. And there was so much being talked about, and the broad sense of what's being used and misused is artificial intelligence. If you want to get someone to come to a session, just throw artificial intelligence in front of it. It seems like everyone wants to race off to those sessions. And when you, David, and I went out to dinner, I started asking you some questions about this, and you started really bringing some clarity to what is AI versus robotics, as well as machine learning, and just rules-based decisioning. So that's where I want to go. And then there's the last topic I want to get to, is something that you're very excited about. We'll save that to the end. But let's help our listeners sort through what are the various categories in this broad misused term of artificial intelligence.
Sure. Happy to talk about that. First, the first and most important thing is that these technologies, in particular artificial intelligence, has been around a long time. So artificial intelligence is a known, practiced field within computer science and software engineering, has been around for decades already. So it's not necessarily a new topic, okay? What's really new, and what we talked about at dinner, the game changer that I feel is out there with regard to artificial intelligence, but not only that, these other technologies that in my mind, and I'll describe this more in a second, sit kind of in front of artificial intelligence, such as robotics, robotics process automation, and machine learning, these technologies are so much more accessible now. So it used to be 20 years ago, you could have a PhD that you hired out of MIT and you'd have to pay that salary, and they knew neural networks technologies and they programmed in Prolog. I've actually written and done neural networks in Prolog, and that was many years ago. And you can do these types of things, but you would have to staff that and then hire people, and then you'd need a supercomputer. Where would you get that, you know, to be able to run your programs and really have a good learning that happened across a large data set? But now with these cloud accessible platforms such as Watson, which is IBM, and Google Cloud AI, you can just have an internet connection and you have you have the processing power of a supercomputer, and you can pay that on a per drink or on a subscription basis, and you can point that at your data set, which you can also put up in the cloud, and you don't need a super sized computer to store all of the information that you're trying to train off of. And this has created an accessibility in our industry that has just been, and across all industries, it's not just mortgage here, it's across all industries, and with that accessibility creates a lot more opportunity for a lot more people to do innovation. And I think that's really where the game changing is going to occur and is occurring.
Yeah, it's good to point that out. Let's talk about machine learning, RPA, and AI. And then in the front end, the very, very front end, I guess, is rules-based, but that's a rules-based. That's really not something where anything is learning. It's just how would you stack those up? Is rules-based the most basic fundamental, such as AI chat or chat bots and those types of things that we see on websites?
Yes, I would say that rules-based systems has been around a long time. There are a couple of them specific to mortgage that have been implemented. They're like iLog and Mindbox. And if you go to automated underwriting systems, they started as rules-based engines. And what a rules-based engine does is it's an off-the-shelf platform that you can use to program your business rule logic in kind of a pseudo language and put it into the rules engine, and then it executes those rules and connects to your other systems through APIs, as opposed to you having to write in C++ and Java code and write all this programming logic to do the rules yourself in code. Okay. Although you can do that, and many people do. So, you know, you write an LOS from scratch, then you might embed a rules engine, or you might write it all in code, but it requires different resources. And the theory is you can use more BA-type resources, business analysis resources, to be able to do the logic in a rules-based engine, because they don't need to be programmers and know that language. But if you put that one in the front of that whole thought process, then soon after that, you might take the rules and then you automate through a scripting process, you automate the firing of the rules, and that could include inputting information through macros, if you will, on screens, which a human does. And it could then input information, get a result back, then fire three rules, then go to a different screen, input information, get a result back, fire four rules, come to a conclusion based on an if-then-else statement, which is really important. It's a rule.
Right.
And then it does the work for you. And that's where I think there's really game-changing innovation happening in mortgage today. And that's in RPA, robotics process automation. And again, you have that cloud accessibility. We're piloting this at Guild. Companies such as Fannie Mae have been 2 years into it, and they're seeing great ROIs off of it. And you have, you know, Blue Prism, and you have Soft Motive, you know, these companies that are out there that you can just attach to through the cloud to be able to set these bots up and run them on a very accessible kind of subscription basis.
Where does machine learning fit into all of this?
That is a great question, and that's what comes sort of next in the stack, as I describe it, or as I think about it, which is, okay, now you have the bot running. Now, what can the bot do about what it's doing? How could it learn from the steps? So the way I think about it is, let's say we get really into RPA and we set up 25 bots that are doing these 25 processes automatically. And the average number of steps that each bot is taking is between 100 steps and 1,000 steps. Okay, so you have all these steps, depending on which script, if you will, or which program is running, and this bot's running, and this bot's running, all these 25 bots are running, and they're running over time. So they fire the 100 steps 100 times a day for 100 days, and they fire the 1,000 steps 100 times a day for 100 days. And now this starts to build up a huge amount of data information, timing around all those steps, failures, where did they occur, how did they occur, how many times did you have to rerun it. All of that starts building into a data repository, and that data repository could feed a machine learning algorithm so that the bot could recommend, or the machine learning program could recommend a better way of running the 1,000 steps or the 100 steps. So let's say steps 1 through 10 could be done only as step 7. And steps 11 through 20 could be done in 3 steps. And so now that's eliminating steps, and it could reorganize the steps, and it could create a report that self-optimized the execution of what it was trying to do. And that's kind of where machine learning is. And then where in my head, the artificial intelligence now, that takes that a step further. And now there's a self-learning aspect that you add on top of all of what we've talked about. So now not only do I have the data, not only do I have the steps, not only can I perform the process, not only do I have all the business rules that started all of this, but now I can start to learn myself from not something you told me to look at or you asked me to evaluate. I'm actually teaching myself something new, so that a new process comes out of an artificial intelligence. And that process is not even the same steps that you are doing, but it accomplishes the same means to an end. And it comes out from an artificial intelligence. So a good example, Watson is IBM's cloud artificial intelligence, and you can access it. It's very accessible, and they've done amazing things with identifying cures to various cancers that doctors hadn't identified before. And the reason why they can do that is because they look at so much data across so many participants, and they self-teach about how they can solve the problem of cancer without, you know, going to school and without following a methodology that had already been established. And while I believe there is a huge opportunity for this in mortgage, I don't believe that the opportunity is going to be fully realized, say, in the next year. I think this one is going to take a little bit more time to play out.
So at this point, we're seeing a lot of rules-based decisioning, have been for some time. We've seen some RPA, robotic programming, actually going on, applications. If you were to take a look at a progression and draw us a picture in our minds, if you would, Gabe, you know, rules-based is really developed. RPA is fairly fully developed. Machine learning is coming into its own, and AI is the future. Is that an accurate way of looking at this?
Yeah, I mean, the only thing I would tweak to what you said is I think it's fair to say to all of the artificial intelligence PhDs that are listening to your podcast, it's very well developed artificial intelligence.
Right.
It's the application of artificial intelligence to mortgage that I think still needs some development time and work. Whereas RPA is also very well developed, but it's simple for us at Guild Mortgage or at any other company or at your company. You can sit down and say, all right, give me the 20 steps. And you're looking at it on the whiteboard in the swim lanes, or you were talking about mind maps earlier. So you lay it out and you're like, oh my goodness, we could do this so much better. Or you can apply like Lean Six and you're like eliminating wasteful steps and stuff. And you follow that process and then you put that into a bot so that it executes the process in attended or unattended mode. And then now you can do that a lot faster because it's just going to rote do those steps for you at the press of a button to do the 100 steps instead of a human being having to perform all of the steps.
We're looking at a lot of need to reduce costs in mortgage lending. You're familiar with that, and you're doing significant initiatives. You have a number of significant initiatives underway there at Guild to cut costs. We have other clients that are doing that. It really starts with understanding and having a consistent process. Ask that as a question. I'm almost asking as a rhetorical statement. Would you agree with that? It's essential that you have a consistent process throughout your organization?
Yeah, I've been a big believer, as you know, through my work with MSMO and other standards bodies, that following standards is key to success. And you have to apply those across people, process and technology. It's not just technology that's going to solve the problem. The people have to be willing to use the technology, and they have to be willing to follow a process. And the process has to be standardized, because if I go do the 20 steps and every business person I talk to that does this process does 30 steps over here and they're different, and 20 steps over here and they're different, and 17 steps over here and they're different, and you have no standardized way to do it, then how are, you know, which one are you going to follow for putting into
right.
the bot? And so you have to kind of standardize it. And once you create that standard, that also allows you to hire people or reallocate people a lot more easily too, because it's a standardized, known, documented way of execution. And everybody does it the same way. And they might tweak and tune a couple of things on their own. They're a star performer and they think about things a little bit differently. But by and large, the overarching process is done the same way. And that just gives you a lot more portability as an organization in your ultimate quest to be able to reduce the expenditures.
We're seeing a lot of outsourcing. One way to reduce costs is outsource, offshore and outsource. And we're seeing that being one way to do it. However, artificial intelligence has a much more effective and efficient way of reducing costs, and it keeps those processes inside of onshore and inside a computer. Do you see the two, outsourcing offshore, offsourcing and robotics and AI, machine learning, all this aiding and coming together? Or how much are we going to be needing to outsource as we see AI developing?
Well, I think there's two parts of the answer to that question. And I would speak more to RPA and outsourcing of rote processes, which we've been doing for a number of years now. The outsourcing
right.
of AI, again, until that application problem is solved, I haven't seen a lot of outsourcing of artificial intelligence yet, because we don't have a lot of artificial intelligence insourced
yeah.
yet. So if I focus a second on the RPA, yeah, you can outsource. So from a macro perspective, the answer to your question is, well, if the bots are doing more of the work, then human beings are doing less work if you're successful in that. So if the
right.
human beings are doing less work, then that would mean those human beings that were outsourced before from a BPO perspective or inside your shop goes down. However,
yep.
there is exceptions to every rule. So the bots will fail, the process won't work, there will be a flaw, there will be an error, and so you still have to have a robust exception handling process that runs around
okay.
the bot to make
Good
sure
point.
That you keep all of your business moving forward in an unmitigated fashion. And so for that, outsource providers have wised up to that, and they've already started pitching solutions where they're like, we'll come in, we'll build bots, you can use our bots on a subscription basis or what have you, and we'll provide the BPO resources that if there's an exception, our person will handle that one exception and get that one over the finish line. And we'll handle all of that and do this on this SLA and then give you a report out from this process of how it's running, et cetera, et cetera. So, and it's up to the business to decide, okay, do they want to follow that? You know, they're putting together competitive solutions there, kind of melding the two technologies, you know, the technology with the people. Or they can be like, no, we'll have you build the bot, or we'll build it ourselves, and then we'll run the bot, and then we will handle the exception processing, and we'll do that with our internal resources.
Good point. Trying to understand where this is going. I think the part that's probably most concerning to me as I consult the industry and have been for the last 17 years is a lack of consistency and process, a lack of attention to that. And I really think it's important for our listeners to hear, if you're not focusing on your process at the beginning, before you put any of this in place, you've got to start there. And if you're not going there, I really do get concerned that you're going to be left behind and possibly put out of business, because others that are initiating this, Guild Mortgage, other companies that are out there, Radius Financial, my good friend Keith Pulaski at Radius Financial, there are companies initiating this, folks. One of the things that I heard Elon Musk say, that he sees AI as being very scary. He has been very vocal against AI. Is this something we need to be concerned about inside of mortgage lending?
It all comes down to the application of AI, right? So where are you going to give the decision to a machine? Because at the end of the day, a business and ultimately a person needs to represent that business and answer in a court of law if a lawsuit is brought against a company.
Right.
So there are a couple of examples that are out there that are publicly known where a company handed an AI a decision, like a hiring decision, and then it came out later that over looking at the data that the hiring decision was more prevalent to one gender than another, and it was the AI that was making the decision. Well, the AI didn't go to the court and answer to the judge
right.
about the bad decision that was being made. A person representing the company that ran the AI did. And so you have to be careful, and I think that's where Elon is going as well, is you have to be careful what do you hand off to the machine to make a decision and teach itself and be able to make its own decision based on its own learning. How much latitude do you provide? And I think that if you build off of some of the concepts we've talked about today, where you're applying artificial intelligence on process optimization, but you're not like making a suitability decision or some other decision that has legal ramification to how it's being made, I think that that's where you can be a lot safer in the application of artificial intelligence.
Great point. We could talk about this topic forever, but there's a book that you referred me to that really gets to, it really fits in with this topic. It's called The Trust Economy. I'm very excited about this book. I've been devouring it since you recommended it a week ago, and I want to get into talking about why you are so excited about this book. And I want to start off with this analogy. My brother, who had a VC firm up in the Seattle area, invested in an avatar company, which had some intelligence behind it. Now, it was way before. It was 2008, so it was a number of years ago. But what was interesting, they were running a test on trust. Will people trust these machines? Will people trust the results of what we've just been talking about, the broad topic of AI and all these things? And what was shocked him and many is that I think it was 85% of millennials would trust a computer more than they would the human that would basically provide the same information. It was a very interesting thing. So the trust economy and this topic actually fit pretty nicely together. But talk about that book and why you're so excited about it.
Yeah, so that book, I do recommend it. It's written by a gentleman who spoke at one of our leadership summits at Guild Mortgage. And what it's trying to address is, to your point, how much trust consumers are putting into what I call middlemen or arbiters that are new platforms that didn't exist before that you have to trust to be able to perform a function or do a transaction. So the examples that he provides and drills in on are Airbnb and Uber. Okay, so these are definitely game-changing technology platforms and game-changing ways that we do business, and there's a lot of trust that we have in them. So I use the Airbnb. I'm going to a stranger's house, hopefully not with webcams in it, which is being written about more, because they're watching their house, but are they watching you? So that affects that trust equation.
Right.
But you're going to somebody that you don't know, and you're giving them money, and you're staying in their place, and they're trusting you. You're not going to go dump their house and start a fire and everything else. And we're doing it all through this third-party platform that basically creates the connection. And so you have peer reviews as a very important trust factor on all these sites, from Amazon to Uber to Airbnb. You have your 5-star ratings, and did they get good reviews? And so if everyone gave them good reviews, then I should be able to trust them. And so he delves into that a lot in this book. So if you're really forward thinking out there, like your brother and you are all, you have always been, where you're thinking about what's the next thing and how do we build that. I was interested in applying it to the mortgage process. So if we're doing mobile apps to our consumers and we're doing an experience, we want the experience to be thoughtful and memorable for the consumer, but we also want them to build trust in Guild Mortgage, not lose trust. So he builds that in the centerpiece of the book is his 6-steps trust model, which talks about 3 steps: proactive, perception, temptation, and connection, and then the reactive 3 steps, which is validation, attachment, and affiliation. And he walks those through and provides many, many examples of how you can think about applying those principles and that model to what you're doing from an application and platform perspective and what you're trying to provide to your customer so that, or your trading partner for that matter, so that they can build trust in this third-party application that they're accessing you through, which is, a portal or a platform.
Very interesting. What are some of the principles to build trust in a digital world?
Well, you have to have, at least eventually, you have to have great brand recognition. You can build a lot of trust with brand. If you're a new brand and you're a startup company, then that's hard. So you have to go build that. And you do that through speeches and seminars, just like we did back at the startup we worked at. You know, you have to build that from scratch. But once you have that, that becomes really important, that the consumer sees your brand as something that they can trust or not. You do that through transparency. That transparency can happen through visibility of data and process and steps that are firing behind the scenes, some level of that, so that there is a transparency to the process, to the person that asked you to perform it for them. And, you know, that visibility to being able to see if there's a problem, where did it occur, how did it occur, who's accountable for it, and you work that all through as you're, you know, communicating with the customer as well. And those are a few things that you can do to build that trust and that character in your company and in the services that you provide. I mean, in your service, you build trust with people. You've consulted, and people trust that you're going to come in and you're going to do the right thing. And if you're going to move there, you do a lot of personal connection, and you're very good at that. If you're going to move off of that and you're going to use a third-party portal to do that connection, then you have to make sure that the brand of your company and you flow through that, and that they have the tools and the technologies to be able to see what it is you're providing or what it is that you're pitching. So I see the same problem needing to be solved from a consultant lens, just like a lender lens. It's all moving digital,
and it
all needs to be trustworthy and accountable.
And I think reviews that you're published, and that's one of the things I'm excited about that we're doing more and more is, you know, when you get testimonials, when you get people talking about it, I think it does build trust. There's an old proverb that says, let another man's mouth praise you, not that of your own. I think the less we talk about ourselves and try to tell everybody, you know, why they should trust us, you just let someone else do that job for you. And that's what Uber and Airbnb do. They have all the reviews. I use Airbnb, Uber constantly, and Lyft. These new platforms, I'd look at these reviews, especially when you see some of the things and the issues that have developed. Some sad, tragic recent issues related to Uber, someone getting in the wrong car. How do we do these things? So I think it's so important that we take some of the lessons learned, bring it to what we're doing here in the world of mortgage lending, especially as we start using this technology, again, broadly used as artificial intelligence, bringing this new communication technology, connection technology to the front end of the business, not just now. We've been using it in underwriting, been using it in decisioning and those complicated areas. We're now bringing it to the front end of the process and using that to engage consumers and communicate with consumers. And it's so important that as we do that, we build that trust. So it's very exciting that you called my attention to that book, and I want to call our listeners' attention to this. What are some of the things that you can talk about that are exciting that people are saying, man, I want to learn more about Guild Mortgage? Sounds like they got a lot of good things going on there. So what are some of the things that are going on there that should get people excited and possibly seek a career and make a move over to Guild?
Sure. Thank you. I mean, it's an excellent company. It's phenomenal. We're doing a lot of great things and innovating in a lot of ways. So if we apply that to kind of some of the things that we've talked about here, obviously we're building out our trust model. We're building out our brand, you know, just to what we were just talking about. And we're providing better service with more transparency to our consumers and our trading partners. And so we've put out a mobile app recently that I know you're aware of that the agent community uses, and so that allows our realtors to have more transparency and build trust with our loan officers whom they're interacting with. With regard to artificial intelligence, you know, a couple of areas that are more developed as opposed to these like decisioning systems that we were talking about earlier, but like document recognition and training and learning and deep learning around document recognition and document typing. I mean, this has been around the industry since the industry existed, and there is definitely great advancements that have happened with that part of artificial intelligence and machine learning, and we're tapping into that at Guild also. And, you know, we're doing natural language processing, so we've looked at voice enablement technologies like Alexa and Siri platforms and what we can do with that so that our consumers and our trading partners or our agents, or, you know, our partners can talk to us and ask us information, and our machine will come up with the answer and then project the answer through Alexa, for instance. We built a prototype last year on that. And natural language processing, of course, has been another area that's been advancing with artificial intelligence, because everybody's voice is different, everybody's pitch inflections are different. So that learning of how to process a sentence or a phrase and turn it into the right question to a computer so it answers it correctly is definitely an area that's advancing as well. And so we're trying to stay in front of all of that and run alongside it, at least, to be able to keep our technology platform advancing. We're super supportive of our sales force, our people, our employees, and our people love working at our company. So we're always looking for great people to add, whether it's in our sales division, servicing division, or in our IT division. And thank you for letting me talk about that a little bit.
Well, it is exciting. And I gained a great deal of respect for Marianne and the whole team there when we were together at the Leadership Institute in Gettysburg. We went through that together, and they had a large group, and I was in the background watching them. And I gained so much respect for them and that management team and how they interacted and the energy that was there. And then what really got my attention is when they recruited you, which still, and you still live out east and you commute there every week. That really got my attention. So folks, I'm telling you, pay attention to what's going on at Guild Mortgage. It's a very exciting story on many levels, how the company was acquired, how they did the leverage ESOP. There's just so much about this story that's very exciting. And now that Gabe's there, watch what they're going to be doing when it comes to technology. It's one of the leaders that we should be all focused on, paying attention. For someone that wants to go to work or learn more about Guild, what's the best place for them to connect? I'm assuming your website and then any other resources, your email, someone else's email. How can people get in touch with your company?
Sure. Our website is probably a great place to start, which is guildmortgage.com. We're also active in the various social media outlets, including, you know, LinkedIn, Instagram, Facebook. And I certainly can be reached, and you and I correspond on LinkedIn. If you want to reach out to me, that's certainly an area that you can reach out to me directly as well.
Good, good. So it's Gabe, G-A-B-E, Mitton, M-I-N-T-O-N, and LinkedIn. Search him out. Get a hold of him. Gabe, thanks so much for taking time out of your extremely busy day to join us and give us a little more insight that helps sort this out a little bit more. There's so much here. Love to stay in touch with you, have you continue to contribute to our listeners' learning and all of this. Thanks so much, friend.
Awesome. Thank you so much for having me, and I'm glad that I could help, and hopefully this helps your listeners as well, because I definitely like trying to help explain things and continue to focus on problem solving in our industry. So thanks for having me.
It was great having Gabe. Go back and listen to this podcast as well as all the other Hot Topic podcasts that we have up there on our website. Go to lickinonlending.com, and under podcast, you'll see the various segments. I want to say a special thank you to our sponsors. Acknowledge them, the MBA, Black Knight, our two co-ops, both Lenders One and the Mortgage Collaborative, as well as Open Mortgage, as well as Finastra, as well as Vidyard and Knowledge Coup. Grateful to all of our sponsors that make this possible, but most of all, grateful for you, our listeners, that show interest in our initiatives, what we're doing here. We welcome your feedback. Go over again to the LinkedIn page of Lickin' on Lending and drop your thoughts there. Send me a text. Love hearing from our listeners. And I do hear from so many of you, and mostly through LinkedIn. It's a great way to do it. I'm hearing probably 2/3 of my communications, professional communications, come through LinkedIn right now. It's really amazing how that is picking up as a viable way. Gabe mentioned it, so I mentioned it to you. It's a great way to connect with you. Or if you text me at 512-632-2900. Again, thank you so much for being a listener. Be sure to tune in next week where we have Mike Frentantoni, who will be here with us talking about the markets and the latest MBA economic forecast. Have a great week, everybody. I'll see you next week.
You've been listening to Lickin' on Lending, a weekly mortgage market update with your host, David Lickin of Transformational Mortgage Solutions. Join us next week, and thanks for listening.
You've just heard an audio clip from Lickin' on Lending, and here are the sponsors that make this show possible.
It's been ingrained in us since we were kids that every time someone says, thank you, you're supposed to say, you're welcome. It's expected. But what if I told you that your expected behavior is not building a bridge? One of the fundamental aspects of meaningful relationships is the understanding that you and your partner are in it together. So you help each other out with no need to expect gratitude for favors or services, because you expect them to do the same for you someday. Instead of saying, "You're welcome," simply say, "Hey, I know you do the same for me." This changes the dynamic of your relationship. It builds upon the science of reciprocity and implies that you now have the relationship where favors are freely exchanged. This is a minor change in your day-to-day communication, but the results could be huge. If it sounds too good to be true, it's not. It's just the science of sales.
I love that segment. Good job. Always love hearing that. And by the way, Scott's going to be our guest on the Hot Topic segment on February 18th next week. Looking forward to having him on. He's talking about educational content and some things that they're doing over at Open Mortgage. Very exciting. Of course, our newest sponsor is back. It's actually like bringing him back. You know, they go away like kids over.